the Lord Jesus, the master, servant, leader. If I were to define leader, and you can think in your mind as you consider the idea of leader, of being in leadership, I would define leader as someone who acts as a guide or someone who directs or influences others. Now, many of you might be asking the question, okay, you're going to talk about leaders. Well, you should save that for a leadership seminar. Well, here we are. Welcome to the leadership seminar. Why? Because if you call yourself a Christian and a follower of God, you are called to be a leader. Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5 with me, please. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. If you are a Christian, you are called to be a leader. Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16, we read this. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works, and glorify your Father which is in heaven. What does this have to do with being a leader? Well, we as Christians are called upon to be lights in the world. Do you realize that darkness does not have to exert any energy to exist? It just is there. It happens. This world is dark. But God has called us to be light. Well, light requires energy. It's the exerting of force to produce light. And thus, God has called us to be an influence in this world, to be a light. And as Christians, we are called to be leaders of influence. We are to influence people, to be light bearers in this world. Turn to the end of the book of Matthew, to Matthew chapter 28. And again, you're going to see how Jesus Christ calls upon us for action. We are called upon to be people that are actively influencing people for Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. God's called you as a Christian to be a leader. Now, what kind of leader does God want you to be? What kind of leader does God want me to be? As I ask that question, I want you to think back in your mind. Think about the leaders that you have known or you have experienced in your life. What are the leaders that stick out? What are the qualities about them that you appreciate? What are the qualities that stick out and make it give you reason to like them as a leader? You have somebody in mind? Somebody that's there that's saying, you know what? They were a good leader. I want you to think about the way they led. What was it that said, I told you, I want to be a follower. I want to join their team. I can remember I was a land surveyor for 8 years before pastoring here. And as a surveyor, you have a boss, the guy in charge, and then you have work crews. Now, I was a work crew. And I started out as the low man on the totem pole, but not the totem pole, the survey pole. You know? I was the low man. And I just did basically whatever I was told. You know, they would tell me what to do, go in there, and they, you know, go do that. Send you down a manhole. I was the one to go down the manhole. It was just my job. But as I was there longer, I began to work my way up, and then I had authority. I became a leader. And then it was that I realized how important of a role that is. Because when you are placed in a quote-unquote position of leadership where you are expected to lead, it just doesn't come naturally that people will follow you. You need to have the quality of being a leader, being somebody who people want to follow. And I had to think about that as I had these young men under my care. And I had to think about what is it that they need in me. How can I serve them as their leader to accomplish the task that is before us? And I realized that it meant I go down the manhole. I realized it meant I go through the briar patch to get to the iron thing. I realized that it meant I led the way, they followed. And then when it came time where I couldn't go down the manhole, but they needed to, they did it willingly. Because they had a leader who said, I will do it, I will serve, and was an example. Powerful lesson to learn in life. I didn't always know that, but God's graciously, He taught me that principle. What kind of leader does God want you to be? A very powerful passage that illustrates this is in John chapter 13. I want to invite you to turn to John chapter 13 with me. This context is in the upper room, just before Jesus is going to trial and going to be condemned to death. And you'll read there in verse 1, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. Now I want you to notice this next verse. What you're going to see is you're going to see the world's way of leadership. Verse 2, and supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Notice the world's way is self-centeredness, not servitude. Now verse 3, what you're going to see is Jesus recognizing God's supremacy. Jesus knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he was come from God and went to God. He riseth from supper, laid aside his garments, and took a towel, and girded himself. And after that he poured water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. And then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? And Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter said unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. And Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus saith to him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And you are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore he said, You are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, Know ye that I have what I have done to you. You call me Master and Lord, and you say, Well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. We see a vivid illustration of the kind of leader that we are to be. A servant leader. Jesus Christ, our perfect example, illustrates this for us by his life. This is a popular story. We understand it well. Jesus being the guest of honor, being the teacher, is the one who stoops down and washes the feet of his disciples. Do you realize that this was the role of the lowest of the low in the household? The lowest servant, his job was to wash the feet of the guests. And this we see Jesus assuming that role. Another passage in And you can turn there as well as Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5, we read this, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation." No reputation. "And took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." We see the Apostle Paul again pointing our attention to Jesus Christ, the master, servant, leader. So the question is, how can I be just like Jesus? How can I be a servant leader like Jesus? We're going to turn to Matthew. We're going to stay here for the remaining portion of our time. Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20. I'm going to give you a series of four statements that I believe will help us to understand how we can be just like Jesus, a servant leader. Matthew chapter 20, and we'll begin reading in verse 20. Matthew 20, 20. "Then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons, worshiping him and desiring a certain thing of him." So we have the sons of Zebedee and their mother coming to Jesus. It, this term, worshiping him, this means that they are paying homage to him. So in other words, their outward actions are saying, "You are great, God. We worship you, Jesus." But listen to their request. Verse 21, "And he said unto her, What wilt thou? And she said unto him, Grant that these my two sons may sit, the one on thy right hand and the other on thy left, in thy kingdom." So what is the content of her desire here, or of her request? It is a self-centeredness. It is, we want honor for our family. Alright, so Jesus, the master servant leader, let's see what he says. How does he handle this? Verse 22, "But Jesus answered and he said, You know not what you ask. Are you able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" Basically, he's saying, you don't know what you're asking. You do not understand the ramifications of this request. Jesus, knowing that his life was coming to an end, they hadn't seen that yet. Their response was, "We are able." Verse 23, and this is where we come across our first statement, where we recognize God's supremacy in all situations. You want to be a servant leader. Statement number one here, recognize God's supremacy in all situations. If you want to put it in a different way, you could say this. I believe God is in charge. You approach life with that mentality. I believe God is in charge. Let's look at the scripture. Verse 23. "And Jesus said unto them, You shall drink indeed of my cup, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared of my Father." What do we see from Jesus here? We do not see Jesus assuming leadership. We see him submitting to the authority of his Father. Jesus is our example, folks. And as we look at this, we need to realize that God is in charge. I believe God is in charge. God is supreme in all situations. Listen, you're going to approach, or circumstances that are going to approach you in life, challenges and difficulties, and you're going to be called upon to be a leader in different times and places. How are you going to keep this in mind? Remember God in charge. Remember He's supreme. He's supreme in all things. And if you have that mindset, you're well off on being a servant leader just like Jesus. Reading on, verse 24, and when the 10 heard it, they were moved with indignation against the two brothers. Can you picture it? What are you guys thinking? I mean, doesn't it annoy you sometimes when you have somebody come along and ask for favors, and here you are, and you haven't got one, but you don't ask. No. It's annoying. It's painful. Here are these men. They're all angry with these two brothers. Now Jesus, in His gentle way, but yet authoritative way, has to deal with all of these things. And He says in verse 25, but Jesus called them unto Him, and He said, you know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority over them. What's He saying? He's drawing an illustration here. He's saying, listen, guys. Listen. You know what it's like out there in the world. You know what it's like out there in the Roman government, the Gentile world. The emperor, the governor, they're in charge. They exercise dominion. They exercise authority. Basically, what that means is they are rulers. They lord over the people. They that are great exercise authority upon the people. Basically, he's talking about a dictatorship where you have somebody that's in charge and they just tell people what to do. They exercise, they take their authority and they wield it upon people. And this is the challenge of some of the governments that are out there today. You have those that are great wielding this power and authority upon the people. Now, Jesus is drawing this illustration because in verse 26, we're going to see that statement number two, recognizing God's followers are different from the world, is of utmost importance. Because Jesus says, this is how the world does it. Now listen, God's followers, we do it differently. Jesus does it differently. Look at verse 26. But it shall not be so among you. That's pretty clear, isn't it? This is not the way it is, the way it should be among you. Followers of me, Jesus is saying. If you want to be a servant leader, let's take Jesus' example here. And say this statement, I trust God's way to be the best way. You want to be a servant leader, recognize God's followers are different from the world. And the way we do things are going to be different. We model after Jesus Christ and not after this world system. You want to be a servant leader, remember, God is in charge. And remember that God's way is the best way. Thirdly, recognize God's standard of greatness is service. It's not authority. It's not power. It's not materials. It's not money. It's service. God's standard of greatness is service. The statement that I have with that one is, I know God expects me to serve. I know God expects me to serve. Look at verse 26 again. Jesus says, but it shall not be so among you, but whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister, or let him be your servant. This is the same word that is used for deacon throughout the rest of the New Testament. These were the ones that were called upon in the church to serve the tables and to take care of the widows. These are servants. These are people that their focus is on serving. What else does Jesus say? He says in verse 27, "And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Let him be your slave." This is a different word. Slave. This is the term doulos that's used for the lowest of the low. If you were a slave, you didn't have any rights. And what does Jesus say here? "Whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your slave." You notice these two statements are very similar. The first statement is focusing on service. How do you serve? The second one is focusing on position. Focusing on your service, you are to be a servant. Focusing on your position, you are to be a slave. If you want to be great, Jesus is saying, you need to serve. Number one, recognize God's supremacy in all situations. I believe God is in what? Let's say it louder. I believe God is in charge. Is that true? Is that true? I believe God is in charge. The second thing, recognize God's followers are different from the world. The statement is, I trust God's way to be the best way. I trust God's way to be the what? The best way. And thirdly, recognize God's standard of greatness is what? It's service. It's service. I know God expects me to serve. Now fourthly, recognize God's example of leadership. How can I be just like Jesus, a servant leader? Recognize God's example of leadership, Jesus. Look at verse 28 of our text, Matthew 20, verse 28. "Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many." Jesus here, he is putting himself forward as the example. "Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister." There's terms in there. Ministered unto and ministered, both are the same verb, but one is in the active and one is in the passive. And you see, the Lord Jesus came to actively serve people. He did not come to sit back and to passively receive people's service. No. Him being our ultimate example, he went and he served people. Just like God has called upon us to be light in this world, that requires energy and activity that we go and influence people. Just like a candle in a dark room influences that room, because it's the energy and the heat and of the light. Jesus is our perfect example of being a servant leader. I want you to notice something about this verse in verse 28. Jesus, being the Son of Man, he came not to be ministered unto, a passive verb, but to minister, active, and to give. This is what he did. This is how he served. He gave his life a ransom for many. Interesting that this word "to give" is in the aorist tense, which is speaking of something that has already happened in the past. And what I believe Jesus is saying here, because he has not yet given his life, what I believe he is saying is, I have come to this earth, and just by my coming is the beginning of your redemption. Do you realize that if Jesus Christ had not come to this earth, our redemption would not be true? It is Jesus' blood that paid the penalty for our sin that makes it possible for salvation. And with Jesus comes redemption. And Jesus here, while he is yet still alive, said, just by my coming, I have come to bring redemption. Recognize God's example of leadership. You may be here today, Jesus Christ, who is he? He's a great man of history. Maybe you've heard that. Maybe he's a great prophet. Maybe you've heard that. But God's word presents Jesus Christ as God in human flesh, as God's Son who came to give his life for people who are enslaved to sin. You realize this term here, to give his life, a ransom for many. Well, what's a ransom for? And a ransom was the payment that would be given to buy a slave back. Well, what's Jesus saying here? He's saying, you guys are slaves and you need me to be redeemed. You are enslaved to what? This world's system and sin. And Jesus, being the ultimate servant leader, is crying out to us to learn from his example and to realize that he is our answer. He is our Redeemer. You feel stuck in sin? Remember that skit that one time we did? You have a box and a person was in the box and the box was labeled sin and they couldn't get out of the box. It's called stuck in sin. Well, that's how all of us are without Jesus Christ. But it's the grace and love of Jesus Christ when we believe upon him by faith that his death upon the cross was sufficient to pay the penalty for our sin. We are then free from that penalty of sin and are able to live a life that is pleasing to him. Church, God is calling upon us to be leaders in this world. God is calling upon you to be a leader in your workplace, to be a leader in your home, to be a leader in your classroom. What kind of leader are you going to be? Follow Jesus' example as a master servant leader. Remind yourself of these statements. I believe God is in charge. Place that on your desk. God is my boss. I believe God is in charge. So that circumstances and people, when they come and it's annoying and it's challenging, you turn your attention to the one who's in charge, God. And you submit to his leadership in your life, and that enables you to lead with certainty. I believe God is in charge. Secondly, I trust God's way to be the best way. That takes a choice. You got to make a choice. You either do things my way or God's way. And dear ones, we need to understand God's way is the best way. Thirdly, we need to say this, I know God expects me to serve. That's what we have been called to do. How many times do you read Paul calling himself a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ? God's called upon you and I to be servants. God expects me to serve. And finally, I look to Jesus as my example. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look upon him. Learn from his example. Read the scriptures, especially Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the Gospels, where it speaks and highlights the life of Jesus Christ. And learn from him. And live as he lived. Because he is the master servant leader.